Alright, time for another DoNotGot.com video presentation. In the context that Google is evil and the world is full of not very smart creatures. Yeah. Humans. Big brain, blah blah blah. Yeah. Supposed to be doing something with it. Besides conniving and scheming for their personal self-interest, because they don't have any big idea of a philosophical concept of their place in the universe. All they have is fables and exaggerations and, you know, bedtime stories. Happily ever after, little piles of crap. So that's what they fill the big brain with, is mush, your gibberish goop, nonsensical ideas that have no context, you know, to the reality, no connection to what really is going on here. So, yeah, where do you begin? So the idiots are all in a different version of idiot. You know, they all have some different kind of thing broken in that, their concepts, what fables they have. And obviously in talking to them, I'd have to deal with those wrong ideas, the errors, and get them out of their brain before they can understand anything real, you know. Get part of the real story anyway. They're not going to get it until they get it. Yeah, they have to get the elements right before they can get the whole story right. You know, you got to take all the three bears and the Goldilocks kind of crap out of there, that, you know, this isn't how it works. You know, bears don't talk and they don't have breakfast and they don't have houses and they don't, you know, all that crap. So, yeah, so that makes this impossible, because I have to make a different video for almost every person on Earth. But the good news is that, yeah, the humans are so uninteresting that they fall into patterns and, you know, kinds. And so you can just put them in a category. Now, some people choose to do that based on nationality or something, which is kind of silly in my opinion, or color or shape or some other kind of bullshit. And, you know, it really doesn't, you know, it sort of misses the target also. That's sort of a fable, okay, that, you know, all Jews are going around with magnifying glasses looking for pennies on the curb or something, and, you know, all black people are doing this and all... blah, blah, blah. You know, all Spanish people are blah, blah. You know, kind of useless. But the generalization is true that, you know, you can profile people, and 70% of them will be, you'll find their magnifying glass in their pocket, you know. You can play percentages games and say that these simple diagrams of reality are useful. But useful and right are two different things often. And so the fact that it's marginally useful in terms of, you know, if criminals are more likely to be wearing sneakers than hard shoes or some other kind of thing, you can draw all kinds of profiling conclusions that are to your advantage if you're attempting to solve a problem. Okay, by being able to identify the criminals from the innocent people. Yeah, you can do it in this kind of, you know, easy way. You know, butlers often are guilty. So I'm not saying there are, you know, obviously that works, but it's superficial, and you can't use it to make final decisions, because obviously there's too much waste in your judgment. There's too many innocent people going to be ruined by your profiling. You know, so you sort of have to try to do that, judge a man by his character, you know, not the color of his skin. Even that has a certain amount of acceptance of the legitimacy of profiling, right? I mean, even, you know, even people who are great advocates for I'm not my race or I'm not my heritage, we're in some sense in making those arguments conceding that, oh shit, I am a white male, I am this, you know, they're fitting into a category that does have malignable characteristics, that has had a history that can't be denied. So, you know, Indians, American Indians, Native Americans, have a drinking problem. The fact is, it's a real thing. You know, there's also a biology to it. They happen to be, where many Native people, okay, including the Native Europeans, discovered alcohol hundreds of years previous. The Native Americans hadn't, and so they physically didn't have the same tolerances, you know, just like the same tolerances to diseases and stuff, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, it wasn't like the Polynesians couldn't become immune to European diseases, it's just they haven't had time to. You know, and then you can go through the whole price you pay for that immunity, you know, the price you pay for acclimating to the world, and the numbers game, and, you know, that gets to the real story, which is, I mean, the real story for me, in terms of making these arguments, is that you have to defeat these, you know, the fables that just ruin any kind of rational conversation, like people believing in extraterrestrials, or, I mean, the big one is God, of course. I mean, that just ruins any kind of rational conversation about what we're doing here. You know, this notion that some creator thought it was a great idea to invent robots that, you know, just basically manipulate the world so they can, you know, cover it with copies of themselves, most of which are not going to meet the standards and be destroyed in some brutal manner. So the best of their prodigy can attempt to successfully lay the eggs and do the same thing over and over and over and over. And those are the conversations, in my opinion, that are more useful or once you have that vision in your head that you're being used and manipulated, you know, by a DNA molecule, it's kind of, you know, dramatically humiliating, and it might even provoke some anger, you know, and some resentment that all of this is wasted for this kind of putrid and mundane purpose of, being obedient to a grinder, a machine of some sort of evolution, you know, acclimating to a new environment, you know, acclimating to one that has some new bug in it. Yeah. Wow, that's some accomplishment, isn't it? You know, especially at the price of what that requires in terms of how many failures you have to create, you know, for your successful immunity or your capacity to live with it. Yeah, like the flu virus or something. Yes, we have to acclimate to living with it. Yeah. Anyway, So in my opinion, I mean, that, you know, those, there's not too many thoughts, too many realizations, you know, that boner killers, you know, they just break your capacity to say, oh yes, this is an interesting game I'm playing, oh, it's so much fun, it's really great. No, you don't have to find out too much about the truth to say I'm not going to play anymore. You know, just if, you know, you could just metaphor it to any game, you know, like hopscotch. You just draw some shit on the street and you're going to just hop across these little blocks by some little simple rules. And then what if you find out, you know, that every step you're taking is sticking knives in somebody else's head or something, you know, every time, you know, you're not going to play the game anymore. You find out how much it costs, and you're going to say, well, I'm not going to do that. You know, if you went to the store and you found out that the aspirin bottle was, you know, made out of tortured 10-year-olds or something, you know, and that's how they made aspirin, you know, they made a bunch of babies cry or something, or some, you know, some kind of cruelty was involved in the creation of it. You know, you wouldn't, oh, this Holocaust pills, you know, oh, you know, no, you wouldn't buy it if you knew what it was made out of, if you knew what it costs, if you knew the real cost. And so, yeah, so for me, there's, you know, the evolution is the big one for me, okay? I mean, those, the brutality of the realization of that manipulation, that whole idea of, you look at, say, a plant, for example, and I have one, I have a lot of them in my backyard, doing different things. Different ones are for food, and different other ones for flowers, and so they grow, and they do all this stuff, and there's some of them are, you know, they're better than others, okay? Some of them are higher quality, you know. They've done this evolving thing. And you just say, here it is, this, it's powerful, it's strong, it's all of these things, but it's all, you know, all of them are going to be dead in the winter, you know, they're all going to just be done in. So their whole job is to become something and then to be just ground into dust, you know, turned into mulch, you know, like salmon going up the stream and becoming food for their little minnows, you know, for their babies. It's just sort of disgusting that you, you know, you make something and then you just break it so it can just do this process of just spending an existence to manufacture the next generation that'll, you know, consume just the pieces of you in some perception that some percentage of your code is going to be meritorious enough to, you know, live again. And spend a few weeks in the sun looking great, and the rest of the time, you know, being the predator and consuming and doing all the things required for you to survive and become, you know, the sun catcher. You know, all the other plants you have to suffocate out of existence. You know, your roots have to strangle their roots, and, you know, your leaves have to flop on top of their leaves, and, you know, all that kind of cruelty, frankly. If they were feeling beings, okay, you'd have to acknowledge, ooh, that's ugly, you know, very ugly. and it's not based on any kind of real merit, it's just, it's not who's durable in the long run, it's not a really good race, it's not a very good test, frankly. The test is always niche, and it all depends on, you were just lucky that your seed landed higher on the hill. And now it's easy for you to, you know, block the sun from the ones lower on the hill. You know, all those kind of advantages and bullshit that we have. You know, you're born in a civilized country versus a shitty one and all that crap. You know, you have advantages of education and good nutrition and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then you pretend that you're somehow better when, no, all you are is positioned better. You just have the higher ground, and your army doesn't have to fight as hard. All that kind of... So that was another point in my life where you realize things. You know, you realize that, you know, a lot of your competitions you're winning because you have advantage. And it's that simple. You know. And that's always an ugly thing to recognize. You know, that it's not, oh yeah, I'm not so much. I've just had an advantage. You know, I know something they don't know, kind of thing. And, you know, that sucks too. You know, it takes the edge off. You know, sort of if you were going, let's say you were going to compete for a gold medal, and the next best guy, let's just say, you know, the guy you knew was really, you know, going to be tough to beat. You know, and he breaks his leg 3 weeks before the Olympics. you know, it's got to be kind of a bummer because, you know, well, gee, it's great. I'm going to win now. You know, yeah, I'm going to win easier. But the downside is the victory is going to be kind of hollow, you know, because, you know, I know the guy who, you know, might have won is going to win for some stupid reason. Yeah. So it's all tainted and ugly, and it all comes at this price. And you can pretend, you know, you can write a fable that makes that go away. You know, so I don't have to look at that. I don't have to look at the cheat of it. I don't have to look at the price of it. I don't have to, you know. And it's just, you're not doing a fair barter then. You're not doing a fair economic exchange with reality. If you're going to change what the price of everything is, you know, you're going to pretend that the crap dripping with blood isn't what it factually can be understood to be. It's too expensive, too pricey, way too pricey. So that's sort of the conversation that I keep having with myself, you know, because frankly the other side can't have it. You know, they can't first off explain their irrational make it go away notions without injecting a bunch of pretend talk. Well, what if you know, what if magic is, there's really magic, and what if it's a simulation, and what if it, blah, blah, blah. You know, they just go on and on and on trying to find escape hatches from having to deal with the simple truths that are kind of obvious and plain, you know, right there in front of us to look at in terms of what the real story is and what the real cost is and all of that crap, that unpleasant truth, the inconvenient truth thing. You know, they are, you know, the truth is inconvenient. In most cases, the truth isn't, hey, you're spectacular, you're doing a great job. That's not going to be the truth. The truth is you're a schemer and a conniver and a bullshitter for, you know, a psychological agenda. You know, you want an outcome. You want to be validated. You want to feel good about yourself and your functionality, and you'll compromise the ideal of using your brain effectively, okay, at least as its purest capacity, which is to do logic and to add up everything correctly, to do the math honestly, and honest math will result in equals some kind of negative function. You're not what you think you are. You're not an asset to the universe or the human race or life on the planet or any of that crap. You know, you're leaking oil on other things' welfare, and it's, you know, like acid, it's burning their skin off. Kind of thing. Price way too high for way too little, you know, to evolve into what? And again, that, even that conversation sort of, you know, just because we've sort of, as a human race, we've stepped beyond physical evolution. It's not so much about, you don't have to worry about even if you lay a rotten egg, okay, its survival isn't threatened, and even its ability to procreate isn't even threatened much. I mean, imbeciles can do it, especially now. You know, it's pretty easy because there's a system that'll keep trying to protect, you know, your youngins from the accepting the liability of having retarded parents. You know, there's lots of it takes a village to raise a child kind of crap in the world now. So Yeah, so you know, we're not doing the evolution thing anymore physically much. I could still make some arguments about how, yeah, we are, in the sense that we still have mechanisms where who procreates. There is a dramatic kind of demographic unevenness of who does it successfully. And that the fact is that you're more likely to get your code copied if you're an idiot, because idiots are more likely to do it recklessly and more often. And so that's a negative, that most of the orphans are going to be the byproduct of stupidity, not some sort of legitimate accident, which you could call a real accident if we're going to make distinctions. some sort of a plane fell on them, kind of parents who died because there are parents who couldn't fulfill the responsibility because of some something that has nothing to do with the quality of their functionality, just bad luck. Yeah, well, most of the orphans aren't created by bad luck. They're created by bad judgment. And so there definitely is a genetic idiocracy that is a real phenomenon. Whether it's as significant as just the social stupidity, stupid memes, a bad functioning civilization that doesn't educate people, fills them full of bullshit, sells them bad ideas. Which one's more powerful? The bad ideas, the storytelling, the lies and crapola, that people ruin children with, and turn them into whatever. They're Borgish. I don't know. I'm trying to get to the the fact that they're ruined from their maturation, with bad ideology and stupid notions, and wasting their time playing basketball instead of reading books, that kind of thing. So back to that functionality, that's the, these are the arguments that matter, is these arguments about, well, how important are these facts of our life in terms of billions of years of physical evolution to become what we are, to acquire knowledge, let's just say. Vocabulary and all that kind of stuff. We're very lucky to be able to do the intelligent thing, in the sense that I would call it fortunate to be able to understand how you got here and what mechanisms are controlling your function. I mean, it's better not, I'm just saying, from my perspective, I think it's better to have the capacity, to be able to fight. It's like you can't fight. You have no chance of fighting if you are stuck, in a poor animal's brain that doesn't have any of these facts and has to just react to the world as it comes, and they can't place any kind of context on why they're here and what they're doing here and what their role here is and all that crap. They can just go based on, I'm hungry, I'm this, I'm that, I have to fight in the environment I'm in, the social bullshit, they just know how to physically interact with the world. They can't understand it or model it and, do the bigger picture. They're stuck in the maze. I'd much rather be somebody, walking the walls, the top of the walls of the maze, having some hope of being able to escape, than being stuck in it forever. But there's nothing fun about the fine lines you have to walk and how much work you have to do not to fall back in, and it doesn't necessarily give you any instant gratification or freedom, you're still stuck in a maze. You're still stuck trying to find the way out, find the way to quit having to play the stupid game and play something smarter and better. So that's probably enough, and I will take a pause and consider where the hell this conversation's going. Not really a conversation, whatever this is. whatever it is, I'll see if I can figure out where it's going and talk about that. Yeah. All right, back. So, what I'd like these videos to do is to be able to get to the simple part of it. You know, not have to do much talking, just get to the bottom line, and it's hard to do. there's two thoughts running through my head, you know, themes, ideas, things that are saying, okay, this is what it's about. So, clearly there's a lot of people who understand that the stories, the bullshit of civilization is just that bullshit. So you can watch shows like The Simpsons or South Park or, you know, Married with Children, or, you know, there's tons of them that are basically satirical mockings of just how bullshit human beings are, just how corrupt they are, just how superficial they are, just how useless they are. I mean, they're just overtly telling you, yes, you're an asshole. And profiling you, pretty much, you know, doing it quite overtly and just basically saying, yes, you're way underqualified to even open your mouth about anything because you really don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Your opinions aren't worth anything. You know, you shouldn't even be allowed to vote because you don't know what you're voting for. And you see it all the time. And then you see it in the real world, having its consequences, and the judges are lunatics, the juries are idiots. You know, the system is completely useless. It's so broken by all of the underqualified attempting to do jobs they just can't do. They're not capable of having any hope of getting right answers. And that's just it's dismal, the prospects, really. I mean, they made the movie Idiocracy. I mean, it's why, you know, we have the word, is because it was just so easy to describe, and then we actually watched it happen, you know, after the movie was made. Even though we got fair warning, we basically start electing professional wrestlers. I mean, not much more qualified. And certainly bullshitters and liars and shenanigansers and, you know, they're just so, they're exactly what we're supposed to be afraid of. The lying, cheating, play you politician bullshit. And people seem to still pull the lever for the assholes. And, I would argue that they're only doing that because, yes, they're only given the choice of asshole. So, unfortunately, it's asshole or bigger asshole, and there's nothing good at all to vote for. It's just the lesser of evils, and that's a concept and a term that's existed in our civilization, and yet doesn't mean anything to people. It's pretty important that we're stuck in all these lesser of evil circumstances. We shouldn't be stuck in lesser and evil circumstances. We shouldn't be making choices where we're just saying, well, how bad a Holocaust, where will it be? Yeah, we shouldn't have to choose between shit and shittier. There's that side of it where, okay, people are obviously getting some of it because none of these shows could get high ratings if people didn't find something about it to be intrinsically honest and acceptable as a statement. But that might be their own delusion that they think who's getting mocked in the show is not them. It's those people. It's not me. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those characters. But anyway, I'm just saying there is some general idea acceptable idea out there that humans ain't all that. And then there's this other just argument from, you know, the physical, biological, evolution reality that we're just singing and dancing fish. And if you're going to account for the existence of life on Earth, you have to account for all of it, you know, all of it, every bit of it, you know, the whole mess. So it's not just about the human condition and how well humans are doing and how nice they are to each other and all that kind of crap. It's about all the other sentient, alive, in the intellectual sense, in the brain sense, organisms trapped in the maze. You know, yeah, they're not able to step out of it like we are and have conversation and talk about what it is to be in a maze and all that shit. But they're still doing every other part of our living experience. Okay, they still have, you know, testicles, and you know, they're still motivated and feeling and alive, and you know, they have good days and bad days and all of that crap. So they're part of the story, you know, and you can't pretend you can tell the story without including all of these brainy-abled organisms, but you do have to. And so once you're stuck with that burden, then you're really done having any kind of conversation about how, oh yeah, it's got redeeming features. No, there's no redeeming. There's no redemption from that hell, from that violation of any kind of notion of efficiency. It's that clearly is insane. I mean, even crocodiles have to lay hundreds of eggs. Hundreds, okay, to get a couple of them to maturation, you know, just a couple of them into, you know, grow into big beasties. They have to kill all those children, all those adolescents, all those stories have to be terminated in some brutal manner, you know, by the burden of surviving, of playing the game. And so they're killed by each other, they're killed by the environment, they're killed by the weather, they're killed by other predators, they're killed by little viruses, they're killed by snails, you know, all kinds of crap. And it's brutal. And, you know, it's real when their guts squirt out and all that kind of crap. Those are real events. They're not, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with you, because it's the same thing as you. It's you and just another little version of you. And another, you can think of it as another dimension, because, oh yeah, well, it's over there, you know. It's in another place. But the, where it is doesn't have anything to do with it, you know. It just has to do with what it's doing, and it's doing what you're doing. And you wouldn't want to be in its place. You wouldn't want to be the victim. And that simple conclusion, that simple, honest recognition that, oh shit, I certainly wouldn't play the game if I knew that's what I was going to get out of it. You know, that's not a big leap. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to do much thinking to figure that out. So I'm just saying that's the real context. So once you understand it's these millions of years of biological organisms competing with each other and beating the shit out of most of each other's children, I mean, that's how you win the war. You know, it's like you're fighting another castle and you're going to win the war over hundreds of years by killing their kids. You know, I mean, it's that disgusting. Would you play? Yeah. And that's the game. And it's a disgusting and stupid. And so, you know, there's nothing to redeem in the story of the biological infestation, because it's played by a rules that are just too crude, too insidious, too many torture devices, too many, you know, their basements are just full of the instruments of torture. There's just nothing graceful enough to defend here. There's nothing beautiful enough. There's nothing charming enough to make it worth the price paid. How much slow death there is in the average living condition. And so then there's people who will attempt to separate humans from that and say, well, we can separate ourselves from that and we can shoot ourselves into space and now we're no longer connected or some other bullshit. But what are you going to do in space? What are you going to do with your intelligence but just find silly ways to try to manage it, to try to put it in a bubble of bullshit so it can continue to think it's accomplishing something. And it's going somewhere and it's going to do something. When, no, logically you can understand it's not going to do anything. You're not going to show up on Mars and do anything. you're going to make some footprints, but what are you going to do? You're not going to do anything. You're not going to change the game. You're not going to change Mars's game any. You're not going to improve anything. You're not going to enhance anything. You're not going to polish anything. You're not going to feed anything that's starving. You're not going to heal a wound that exists except your own. You're just turning on a device that doesn't need to be turned on and that just needs to be fed. There's no logic to it. You can't put the true facts into a storyboard and then make a good story out of the real facts. The real facts don't provide the ability to write a good story. You can't make the three bears out of concentration camps. You just can't do it. You can't make some and they all lived happily ever after. You can't do that for certain. So, sorry, but yeah, that's the facts just aren't bendable into any. You can't pretzel them in any kind of shape that ever equals good. Okay, it's always going to equal. Whoa, let's not write that story again. Let's not do that over again. That was pretty stupid. So, yeah, that's depressing. it's the truth. The truth. The truth. It should matter. It should have been something. Most brains, it should mean something. Oh, truth. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it? You're supposed to pay some kind of respect to that. Because living for and in bullshit is embarrassing for a brain. Most brains, don't swim well in bullshit and lies and horseshit and nonsense, and it doesn't fit. Because it isn't some sort of logically defendable place to be. It's just a lie, and that's an embarrassingly transparent dress to be wearing, so to speak. It's probably better metaphors, but anyway. All right, so we'll pause and see if we can do better. All right, so my brain, was playing with the thoughts, and it's connecting viruses, we've used our intelligence to be able to do all this adapting, so we paid a huge price to learn how to live here, so we had to figure out how to stop the smallpox and the dengue fever and the whatever, all of these diseases and these problems, and some of them we haven't fixed, like malaria. So we have to live with a huge price still being paid by human beings, because of these stupid little viruses. And that you could just metaphor the bad ideas that human beings have about reality as viruses, as, it just destroys the functionality, breaks the fun of the game, because you have to argue a bunch of bullshit that isn't true and it's nonsense and I shouldn't have to explain it over and over and all that kind of crap. So, belief without reason, faith, religion, all of that crap, no evidence, just preposterously human-centric fables that people are living by, and aggressively living by them, some sort of draconian, and for most of those people, it's because they think other people need the religion. Somehow they have to defend the religion, because if they don't, somehow all the criminals won't be, more people will be criminals or something. Because somehow you need to be afraid of a god, even though they ought to just concede, well, if I don't believe it, why do I think they're going to believe it? Why do I think the people who have even less incentive to believe it, because they don't care about the social impact of it. The criminals don't care that, we have to have ideas in society that keep people from being assholes. Well, obviously the assholes aren't going to care about that. So they're not going to be believing that religion is a good thing because it gives people manners. They don't care about any of that crap. So why would you even think it could work? If you don't believe it, why do you think they would believe it? They have even less incentive to believe it. So, fuck, it's stupid. So it's all so dishonest. And so this is, this is what our intelligence should be working on, is, okay, well, let's just as we have to improve the environment for the human being to exist in and try to take these horrible liabilities out of it, the snake pits and the quicksand of stupid things like dying of a stupid disease that shouldn't exist, all that kind of crap. We should be doing the same cleaning of the environment of philosophical talk and making it safe for a reasoning, logical brain to have the conversation. And the point of that, the reason why my brain raised that was because, yes, my brain has concluded the conversation's never going to go any further than a conversation about the economics of it. And the fact that, it is pointless. It's just the byproduct of an infection. The Earth got infected, by a molecule that could replicate itself. And the replication is circular. It's self-justifying. There's no initial fact that said, a good idea. No, that never happened. There was never the good idea injected into this circular bullshit that, it just replicates itself for the sake of, it makes it start over again, so it keeps it running. But that's it. There's no sense to it. And it comes at this huge, gigantic price. So it can't make anything. It can't enhance the universe. It's just pretty much physically impossible for it to in any way fix something that was broken. Because nothing was broken in the peace and quiet. It was a perfectly good peace and quiet. And it doesn't need the noise of... That's all this engine can make is noises. And you can pretend some of the noises are music, but you're just pretending. It's just noise. And you're just self-serving noise. You're just pretending you have a purpose, pretending there's some positive outcome, pretending there's some happily ever after. And then, no, there's just misery ever after, because you're perpetuating something that can't be done efficiently. You have to create the initial problem to have a solution. You get gratification from, I'm a problem solver. Well, but did you make the problems that you're solving? it's like you have this disabled kid and then you spend your life, mitigating against the problems created for it and then think, what a wonderful life. Well, it's wonderful. You're fixing a problem that shouldn't exist. It's not a wonderful life. It's stupid. Because you're not going to do it good enough. There's going to be too much waste involved. You're not going to be able to 100% undo. Okay? You're not going to perfectly compensate for the amount of negative going this way with your, positive going the opposite way. And if you really think about it, like I said, you don't have to do much thinking about it, but you do some thinking about it, there's no way around it. There's no, you're going to draw conclusions like, yes, it's a push universe. Well, the fact is, it's a negative universe in the sense that the only way you can create a solution is you have to create a problem. And there's just no sense to doing that on purpose. Creating a problem so you can create a partial solution, that's always going to be a meaningful statement in the future. There's no place for intelligence to go where it can evade that worrisome notion that nothing it can do solves anything, any problem that wasn't a manifestation of its own creation. That it's only solving problems, it's only cleaning up part of a mess it makes by existing. There's no other role for a thing to play than to clean up the mess created by its existence. Any mess. The counter argument could be made is that, yes, there could be a mess on another planet of feeling organisms. But again, that would be the same mechanism to create. It's the same virus. It's just a different rendition of it. But it's the same fundamental error. And so the future is not going to be able to better, higher, cleaner, less bullshit intelligence won't ever be able to make anything but a sad story. The truth isn't going to be happily ever after. It's going to be fuck. You know, this really sucks. That we are victims of a universal fact that the universe doesn't start intelligent. The mechanisms that do make things exist aren't pre-intelligent. They're not gods. Something smart doesn't initiate the action. And so the actions have every possibility of being just plainly negative, because they're not pre-filtered. The universe doesn't big bang, or it doesn't do what it does to create a version of itself. This version, for example, through some intelligent process, through some filtering of what's a good idea and what's a bad idea. And so you can understand that the dice have just as, you know, it's just as probable that something could be good, benign, or bad, right? If those are the three choices, good seems off the table, because you already know that, well, there's no such thing as good, right? It's just silly. There's just fixing bad. Bad, fixing a bad is a good. So if I don't, so all I really have is good and bad. I just have actions that lead to bad events and actions that lead to good ones. And it's in there. You can't tell the story. You can't define what it is until it's done doing what it's doing. You have to wait till it's done its whole life before you can make a judgment, right? I mean, somebody can turn into a psycho killer when they're 80 years old, or they can be one at 8 years old. Yeah. They can do their damage. So any kind of process can do its damage at any point in its life, its history. And, how many holocausts do you need before the price of your existence is too high? I mean, every 10 years, every 20, every 50, every 100, how often do they have to happen before, whoa, you're paid too much for this? There's no song and dance there's no performance we can do on stage that's going to justify the price paid for it. Way too many people died for the bridge. So, I mean, if the bridge kills millions of people, then, you know, the convenience is kind of ruined, because there's such the blood price you paid for it. I don't think you're ever going to fix the problem of intelligence having to deal with the blood price paid for this robotic function, to sit here and as robots beep 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 at each other in an attempt to finally get to the truth. And the truth is going to be a boop. It's going to be a shit. What a dilemma. you know, we have all this intelligence, we have this capacity to understand, and there's not much to do with it, but, you know, gracefully get the fuck out of here. There's no, you know, there's no ending act besides some sort of graceful, the end has to come up on the screen. And it's just, well, that's the end of the story. And yeah, okay, you know, it's unresolved and there's no happily ever after. There's just, oh, this is what the universe farted. You know, and that's all it's going to be. It's going to be a pile of negative gas in the universe, the story of life on Earth. It's not going to be some kind of, oh, wasn't it triumphantly wonderful? You know, all that, all the blood and guts and maggots and, you know, disease and screaming and horror and terror and anguish and pain and suffering. Oh, wasn't it just beautiful? No. So only a retard's going to be able to say something's silver lining. Only a retard is going to say, oh yeah, it was all for the great purpose of. No, there's not going to be, you know, let's play the president coming down the walkway song and pretend something great's going to happen. You know, there's nothing. There's no, you can't even, I can't frankly imagine what kind of, you know, you could just take clippings, news clippings or something of humans' great moment, landing on the moon or some kind of, you know, and just to say, oh yeah, and you paid that for it? You know, how many pictures of the Holocaust do I have to show on the other side of the page to make that trivial and meaningless? You know, our victories are so tiny compared to our crimes. So, yeah, so, I mean, it seems clear to me, okay? It all seems so obvious. Yes, it's a maze. Yes, we're robots. Yes, we're just trying our best to navigate through the mush, the meme wars, the bullshit we're inundated with, the silly notions. Oh, if we only had cheap energy, what would you do with it? You know, you'd just make more of a mess. You'd make more of something to threaten something's welfare, to gain some extra gratification. You know, you would use the resources to develop some sort of penis enhancement device or some kind of other bullshit. You know, and just look more ridiculous as you chase somehow this idea that you can perfect your function, or that you can in some way make this a story worth telling, when it's not. All right, we're probably getting close to the end. Yeah, probably. All right, so my brain just thinking about now a little trickier bit. The whole idea of how much of our psychology is playing a role in how we do the math of what's worth the price. So clearly there's people who will pay a much higher price than I would pay to exist. I mean, they'll fight cancer, you know, 10 different cancers and do all kinds of chemo and all kinds of experimentation and all kinds of surgeries and all kinds of stuff that I'd say, hey, fuck you. Okay, yeah, no. Just inject me with whatever, you know, puts me to sleep and just leave me asleep. And, you know, you can do whatever you want after I'm asleep. Go ahead and just, you know, put me in the trash compactor. Let's just be done with it. Don't wake me up. It's a pretty simple answer. So, I mean, there's a value equation, you know, and that people, you know, are so... So some people are clinging to existing. They just can't imagine not existing, and they'll accept any, almost any kind of physical deprivation to maintain existence. And clearly other people, like me, no, I don't, you know, I mean, frankly, I wouldn't mind exchanging my real life if I had to choose. You know, I could either live in my dream, you know, just dream for the rest of my existence, or be in the real world and exist. You know, I would choose dreaming, you know, because, yeah, I have some bad dreams, but frankly, they're, you know, somehow they don't have the edginess of the reality. So in most cases, there's some that are really dramatic, but I just mean in most cases it seems a better bargain. The pleasures are pretty good, and the pains are less bad. You know, bad things can happen, and it's not so bad. You know, but anyway, so that's me. And so part of this argument is that, you know, every person comes into the argument with a different life experience, and that part of our job, if we're going to be intelligent and argue about this shit, is recognizing that, well, what if? And so you have to imagine yourself in the position of these other people who have a different psychological agenda. So, and it works both ways. You have to be able to imagine being the person who is willing to endure yeah, go ahead, cut my legs off, okay, and it's okay, yeah, no problem, I'll live with it, make me blind, it's okay, I'll live with it, you know, and that doesn't bother them, and they can honestly say, yes, I'll pay that price honestly, okay, I mean, I'll honestly, of my own volition, accept that it's the bargain of my existence, and I won't be, you know, I won't pretend it's going to get better or it's going to go away or any of that. That's the way I'm going to have to live. And I'll accept it and say, yes, I want to do that. You know, unequivocally, you know, without some sort of, well, if I have to. Well, you have to in the sense that that's the price you're going to pay to exist. And, you know, your existence is going to be, it's going to involve all the things some other people would find unacceptable, like, you're basically going to have to, this bunch of other people are going to have to take care of you. You know, you're going to be kind of expensive. And you're going to take resources that would go to other people who had less dramatic problems. And they're going to have to, their life is going to be more miserable because you're going to be using all the slaves, you know, to take care of you. And, you know, all of that would have to be part of the acceptance, the statement that, yes, I accept living that way. And those people exist. But then there's the other side of the people who are highly sensitive. I mean, people would be more sensitive to the price of the ugliness of life. I mean, more perfectionist, more sensitive, more like the noise is even louder to them and the irritations are louder and the repulsive smells are twice as repulsive and the, you know, the headache is twice as headachy, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so you have to imagine a person even more blighted, more sensitive to the negative, and maybe even more and less sensitive to the positive. Like, you know, they're impotent and they're, you know, they don't have much of a sexual desire and they don't have this and they don't have all these motivating mechanisms. So all they have are these kind of harsh repulsions, but they don't hear any pretty music. You know, they don't hear, nothing charms them much. You know, and so you have to imagine being that person and saying, well, shit, would I perpetuate that existence? You know, so to perpetuate the one who isn't too bothered by the pain and suffering, but I have to have that at the price of the person who's going to be highly sensitive to the pain and suffering. Is that a winning exchange? Can that mix into anything else but, you know, some sort of non-positive number? You know, it can, you're not gaining anything. You're paying as much as you're getting. You're going to the store to buy a dollar bill with a dollar bill. I mean, you know, you're not accomplishing anything. You're paying no, just as much value as whatever it is you're getting. And so, yeah, that's sort of my zero-sum argument. And, you know, if we did life perfectly, we might be able to get back to zero. We might get a dollar back for the dollar we've spent, but we're not playing a perfect game. So we're not getting the dollar back. We're getting pennies, you know, for every dollar we sacrifice. And that truth will endure. You know, that's going to be the hard truth to get around. And so even no matter how much idiocracy and bullshit, wherever the human race goes, that truth is going to be an annoying sound in their intellectual conversation, that there's just no game to play, that you won't lose. You'll put more money in the machine than you're going to get back. And that's not a smart thing to do. That's a dumb thing to do. Yeah. All right. So now that's enough of a video. So, yeah. So this has been another DoNotGod.com video presentation. In the context that Google is evil, but so is almost everything else, unfortunately. It's just the lesser and greater evil. Google's a big evil. It's ruining the internet, which is really that's a disgusting thing to do, to turn the internet into your slave, your money slave, you know, feed me more money. Yeah. Suck the blood. It's really horrible. Yeah. I mean, Google's an internet vampire. It's just, you know, it's the living dead thing. Yuck. All right, anyway. So, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.